Every woman has someone in the fighting forces, and in doing war work, she knows that she is helping him and his pals to win this war, and feels that she is doing something really worthwhile.
When the lights go on again, all over the world.
Just after she was 20, that would have been 1942, she was in the army for about 4 years, three to four years. She rose to the rank of sergeant, but at one stage there, I think my dad came up from Melbourne on leave and she went AWOL. And as a result, she lost one of her stripes. And she was very proud of that. She was busted back to corporal. She thought it was great fun. When she first joined, she was posted to St. Peter's, what is now St. Peter's College in Brisbane. And that's where the AWAS ladies all sort of lived. That was their accommodation. And I think she worked from Victoria Barracks in the city. When the signals came through from the various war areas, they took the signals, and it was all in Morse code. They decoded those messages and then passed them on. I still have her Morse code little machine, and it was just so basic.
What does it look like?
Well, it's just a little fella like this. Piece of metal, and it works by tapping, so that by simply hitting the lever, you raised one end, like a seesaw, I suppose, and then when you released it, it just hit the other end and just sent out a signal. And of course, the famous signal is dit 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 da da da, which is SOS. If for the 40s, they were a pretty wild bunch. They enjoyed themselves. They had a great time.
Why did your mum want to be buried at sea?
Well, her vision was that she wanted to go down Currumbin Creek and a funeral pyre with the tide going out, so that she would disappear out to sea with the funeral pyre, and it was going to be all fairly dramatic. We couldn't organise that, of course, so this is really the next best thing.
I'm David Dwight from the Currumbin Surf Lifesaving Club. I'm actually one of the bowmen in one of the crews, so they're called the Currumbin Crusaders. For me personally, it's an absolute honour, as it is for every other boat rower at Currumbin. We love the fact that we're able to contribute to the overall process. There are boat rowers who miss out every year who are literally disappointed that they can't take part in the event.
Logistically, if it's a rough morning or the conditions aren't right, can that make things very tricky?
Very tricky. Last year, there was about a 2-metre swell for us, and in the pitch black, in trying to navigate your way to sea, was very tricky, and a lot of wet ashes, which literally we have to tape into the boat to make sure that we don't lose any of them getting to sea.
Do you speak to the families of those involved before the actual burial ceremony?
Not before the ceremony. We're given the ashes and the urns to take to sea, and then we actually return those urns to the families in a small ceremony just at the club, in the club room after the event.
How do you find that?
It's quite an emotional time for everyone involved to be a part of that, knowing that how much they appreciate the fact that you've taken time to give their loved one a burial at sea. But also for me, it's quite a contributing factor, because my grandfather was was one of the original Anzacs as well. So it's a time to reflect and think about him as well.
And did your granddad survive the landing at Clipper?
He did. He survived the landing and he came home in 1919.
Did you know him?
Unfortunately, no. He died when my mother was quite young. He died when she was about 20. So unfortunately, I never got to meet him. But I've heard a lot of stories about him and from both my uncles, who are all members at Currumbin Surf Club as well. So I guess that's where the real passion that I have for Currumbin Surf Club lies.
To be paddling out at dawn, to have that backstory in your family, that's quite a moment.
Absolutely. And last year, unfortunately, was the first year where I didn't wear his medals to sea, but I normally attach the medals.
What stories have been handed down about your grandfather throughout the years?
My grandfather actually carried a little diary through the war, And every
you're actually holding it now.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah, this is the original.
Wow.
Diary. So we keep it pretty close. My mother checks on me, I guess every 6 months to make sure that I still have it. But every year, I sit around with all the boat rowers and actually we tell another story out of the diary, which is quite an amazing thing. So everyone, you know, really gets to feel what it was like for the soldiers in that day.
Can you give me an example, please?
One of the examples: unknown Australia has come to the fore, her glory established forevermore. The whole of the world has opened its eyes with loud exclamations of joy and surprise, to find that our soldiers are classed with the best. 'Tis the first time our lads have ever been put to the test. They are not found wanted in warfare or play, and the deeds of our heroes will never decay. And that was written on the 25th of the 9th, 1916.
It's poetry. Mm. The last thing you'd be thinking of in those conditions to write poetically, but he's done such an amazing job.
Absolutely. Very very special to myself and to the family, but each year I just try and pick a different story out there that relates to, I guess, a little bit about what the club's all about and the mateship that we have within the group, and how we can portray that, and exactly, realistically, whether our modern mateship that we have was very much a part of, and this ceremony is very much a part of. I'm sure they would actually appreciate the fact that we get together in this way to remember them.
For the first time, Australia was fighting on its own battlefront, as well as supporting Britain in Europe and the Middle East.
Victory! Men will still say, this was their finest hour.